Romans 9.
You say that every time.
It's going to be that way for the next year or two.
No, we're almost done. Verse 25, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, they shall be called the children of the living God. Does everybody understand and accept that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son, the only begotten child of God? That's scripture say that. Gary, do you?
I just wonder why you're asking a question like that.
Well, because here it says, they shall be called the children of God. But yet it says Jesus Christ was the only begotten. So there's got to be, that's when I was going through the...
I don't know, it says someplace that he's the firstborn of many brethren.
Right. So, same thing.
Yeah, so what's the deal?
Well, then how did, if he was the only begotten, how did all these others get begotten?
Paul speaks about adoption.
Adoption, the word adoption is huiothesios, the placing of the fullness of the Son. This was a huge issue to me when I became a believer, because it seemed like it was a contradiction to me. And then, of course, you'd have, you know, I'd go to churches, different churches, and they'd be telling, you know, that I remember once they were talking about all of the people on the earth are the children of God. And, you know, and that was said constantly. And then I come back to that, he is the only begotten. And this may not be an issue to the rest of you, but it was a huge issue to me. And it was one of those issues in which what seemed like a contradiction or a problem was the source of the true meaning of being born again. And that, in my mind, is the most critical issue that any believer can have. What does it mean to be born again? The same as Nicodemus asks, how can I return to my mother's womb? There's only one possible way to tie together what to me was an apparent contradiction. And that was this, that to be born again, that Jesus Christ had to be born in you. It couldn't be any other, and that became the issue by which I can't be in my name and his name at the same time. And I hadn't talked about this for forever, but I remember saying it on the radio show many years ago that people don't believe in the Trinity, they believe in the quartet. And somehow it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. And so somehow, by some mysterious act, by some mouthing of some words, then I went from being an enemy of God to now I'm a child of God. And this was a huge contradiction to me. Until what the true meaning of being born again was and is. 85 million people in America claim to have had a born-again experience. But I promise you, if we talk to most of them, or if I talk to most of them, they'd want to kill me before the conversation was through. And it's the same as with the Jewish nation, even at the time of Christ. The Jews believed that they were by nature in the kingdom of God. And they had to do something unbelievably evil to be excluded from the kingdom of God. The Christians, now we are in the same place. We say that I am, okay, I've accepted you, Jesus. And then I'm once saved and always saved. But something is wrong with this picture. Something has to die. Something has to, you know, all of these arguments and discussions that Mr. Bob and I have had over the last few weeks have been about, to me, about the meaning of being born again. Examine yourself. Let's go there. We've done it many times, but let's do it again this morning. 2 Corinthians 13.
I was thinking about this in terms of the worm that turns into the butterfly. What does that worm have to do with that butterfly? What's the relationship? There's none. Or a snake that molts its skin has no relationship to that old skin. It's a new creation.
In verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 13, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him, or in him, by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? So the meaning of born again means that there's a transaction that took place, that you as a vessel have become a vessel for him instead of a vessel for you. And to me, that's so clear that it drives me crazy when other people don't see that. And maybe that's just because I'm crazy anyway, but that's not the point of this. Is I want us to be fully persuaded, and I want you to prove to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you. Now, it takes some, you know, it takes some kind of, I had to go through that thing that you've all heard me about, where I was going to die if it wasn't revealed. I mean, I wouldn't do anything to help myself.
This makes, I'm with you on this, but the question then comes up in my mind, what does it mean that he's the firstborn of many brethren? Doesn't that say he has many brothers?
No, the word brethren means out of the same womb.
So what is it? What does that mean?
Well, it means...
just him and him and him and him and him inside some kind of vessel, then it's just him.
No, that's the point of the creation of the bride. It's my sister, my love. Everything in time and space is the womb for the birth of the bride. And that can only come of him. That's why, you know, that's why the whole, it's hard for us to conceive, because we have these fairy tale beliefs in our mind, and we've the scriptures, it says he alone has immortality. It's in 2 Timothy. I mean, you understand that.
I understand this. My limitation is that we're now talking about Jesus Christ, and I think of Jesus Christ in my image. I think of Jesus Christ as a man, and how can a man be here, 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 and here, and yet not be him and be a bride? And I mean, it just completely screws me up that I can't get beyond the limits that my mind puts on God.
No, and that's a problem then.
It is a problem. And sometimes, you know, every once in a while, out of the blue, when I'm relaxed, that it just hits me, I can see, you know. But right now, I'm kind of tied into, well, that doesn't make sense. How can a guy be blah, blah, blah?
Well, it's the same. It's though Israel be, the number of Israel be as the stars of the sky or as the sand of the sea. Well, the seed shall, except the Lord had left us a seed, the sperma of God, Jesus Christ on Pentecost, the sperma of God. And that's how this new creation was formed.
Life. I'm thinking of a man. You're talking about life.
Life.
Light.
And life and light and peace and everything else. But it's, to me, it's critical to come to the understanding in Timothy, that he alone has immortality, because that forces you into some kind of an issue with regard to, well, and if he has immortality, he alone, then there's something else going on here. Is this important to anybody else, or am I just babbling?
The issue of if there's any of me that remains, that's clear enough. There's really not. That's clear enough. But I just have a question today that seems like I would have had before. If the bride is formed of him, it's like he's marrying himself. You know.
Well, that's what it's my sister, my love.
Yeah.
That's what all of Song of Solomon is about.
That's the same thought that gives me trouble when I start trying to think of the Trinity. No. So God made himself. I think I'll be a spirit over here, and I think I'll be a human being over here. You know, it's again this literalness of it, and the idea that let us go down and we shall make man, and I just can't handle that information. I can't manipulate that information. It's beyond. It's too big for me.
A lot of carnal minds, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't have the gears.
You can't conceive of what you've never.
Yeah, the issue is, as we've talked so often, is that there are no words for what life is like in the Spirit. We mouth all the time, well, if you walk in the Spirit, then you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, what does that mean? You know, it means that to be in the Spirit, there's no recognition of time. You've redeemed the time. You've redeemed the days because the days are evil. And so these are issues that, for some reason, I think we should. Maybe all I'm doing is causing you to get nervous, but that's okay.
To me, it's revealed in your abandonment. And that's why Jesus said that. He knows the mind can't conceive, so he says, abandon yourself. Which is opposed to seek God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Well, the irony is you seek him by abandonment, because that's how he's revealed, not by your efforts to find him.
Well, again, the whole mystery of that is revealed in Ecclesiastes, that you do everything and you find out there's no there.
Yeah.
And then he's revealed by mercy.
Yeah, you can't trick him.
Yeah, but you can yell at him. I was thinking about that yesterday morning after we left. Bob and I chatted for a minute outside, and I was thinking, you know, it says very clearly, command ye me the things concerning my son. Yell, stomp your foot, shake your fist, do whatever the hell you have to do. He's bound to respond.
I keep thinking about that scripture where we're a new creation.
If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. All things have passed away. But we hang on to the old things so that we we had a visitor here, and I spent hours talking to him. But he got up when I got up, and it's like I made the point about what we've talked about many times, that you make no reference to your past experience as a believer. Well, he was an attorney, so everything, his whole vehicle by which his arguments and logic and everything else came has to be referenced back to cite a case or cite a law. And yet it hurt his brain to think that as a believer, from a standpoint of walking in the Spirit, there is no reference to anything. Christ is manifest in the flesh, but he cannot be justified in the flesh. And as he is in the world, so are we. So you cannot justify yourself as a spiritual being. You know, it's, and everybody tries to, and then you come up with these weird things. But for an attorney to think that in a spiritual walk there's no reference to anything past or anything of his own experience, that's a huge deal. And when we reference for our life this, whatever we've experienced in our past, what we do is we limit God. Do you understand that? So because we have, in essence, without knowing it, we've taken a stand based on some past experience, and therefore there's some form that we have, and he's not gonna go beyond what that is. So we limit the mystery of God being expressed in us by all these things that we do about, you know, referencing something in the past.
Think about Eve. Essentially what she did was she left now. She went back and said, what did God say? And I can be like him in the future.
Once this
action takes place. So I created this space in my mind that I can now leave now. Go to the past or go to the future. And that's what the original sin was, as I left now.
Amen. That's what led to the original sin. But it's, you know, we're back to this thing that we talk about often, about losing the capacity to think that the moment you're in is should be any different than it is. And that's really what faith is. Faith is really just accepting God's mercy, period. But it's total mercy. But we have a Ben Franklin view of Christianity. As God helps those that helps himself. No, he doesn't. He helps those who are totally helpless. And the reason I was into all this is because of this idea that, and the Jews still do it, the believing Jews, they believe they are in the kingdom. That's their birthright, to be in the kingdom, and they have to do something terribly wrong. Well, and that's why the baptism of John was so traumatic, because he caused those that had ears to hear to go to the other side of the Jordan, admit that they weren't worthy to be in the kingdom of God, and then come back in that baptism. Now, but much of Christianity, and again, it's the pastor's fault, you know, you're once saved, always saved, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Well, then you think, by right, then I have an entitlement. And the entitlement is what's so evil.
And entitlement drives out chance for humility.
Right, and mercy.
Entitlement, you can't be in a place of humility.
Right. Well, it's the predicate for it. And so the whole...
It's like walk the aisle and you'll be lifted up rather than walk the aisle and
remain in a low place.
The scripture says God inhabits the praises of Israel. Well, so then the way we get near to God is we praise Him. Well, that's just sorcery. Or the hands are lifted up. Well, everybody know, okay, now everybody lift up their hands. Well, that's augury or sorcery at best.
No, it isn't. Why can't you lift up your hands?
You can. I'm not saying don't lift up your hands. I'm saying if you do it because somebody is saying it to you, or if you're doing it to gain something from it.
We used to do that every morning at Christ for Nations.
I know you did. Remember, I spoke there many times.
We used to do it at the Air Force Academy, too. It's just a different guy.
Now it isn't. Now they have, now they're forcing.
Now it's the other guy. Yeah.
But I'm just ranting today. I don't feel like talking. But the whole idea of this mystery of salvation is so dramatic that everything else has to be just dissolved in you, so that it can apprehend you without all of the little boxes that your minds have created, our minds have created. You know, that's with a metaphor of the explosion of a nuclear weapon to vaporize an island was, you know, that was the metaphor that described what happened in me. And I just keep trying to build it back up again, what it dissolved, and that has to happen in each of you. You build again the thing that you've destroyed, you make yourself the transgressor. So the exhortation in all of this is to remain empty. Empty can't have any reference to anything else. Amen? Anybody have any response to any of this?
Yes.
I was going to point out a scripture that says something different.
Well, you pointed out scripture. I think 2 Timothy 1:10. The part about immortality.
I don't know.
Is that right?
I don't know.
Oh.
You've got it. Read it.
I don't know if this is the one, but but is now made manifest by the appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Maybe that isn't.
No, that isn't the one. It says the one that I think it's in 2 Timothy. It says that towards the end of the chapter, he alone has immortality.
Okay, I wanted to ask you where that was.
Anybody else?
Yeah, for some reason, I keep thinking that there was a time when everybody in the world knew that the world world was flat, and if you sailed off the edge, you'd fall off, and it was on the back of a big turtle, and that was reality. This thing about not being able to conceive of God because of the limitation of my carnal mind is, we've got a great cartoon in the issue that isn't printed yet, where God and Peter are looking at the globe, except it's a cube. And God is saying something like, once they stop believing it's flat, I'll make it round or something. It's like, whatever I want.
Though he was in the form of God, he thought it not something to be grasped, to be equaled to God, but made himself of no reputation. Kino, totally empty. And that is the mind of Christ. And until that mind of Christ becomes so important to you that to stay in that position, then you'll just, keep bouncing around. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation. And spend a minute and go to a concordance and or word study or anything, look up that phrase, made himself of no reputation. It's, in a sense, it's made himself totally empty, almost to a, maybe in the, maybe really, a vacuum. That's so critical to us, especially now. No stands, no opinions. Empty before him, living only by his mercy. No how-tos, no what-ifs. Anybody else? Take a big guy. When are we going to have a first Monday meeting?
Thursday.
When?
Thursday.
Thursday?